out of the cabinet today, and we've approved for release the latest iteration in the domestic food review. There's been a number of position papers going out, and there's now one which covers food safety, regulation compliance, training and education, etc. So that's going out for discussion. We've also approved responses to three of the Foreign Affairs and Defence Committee reports. There was one on Tonga, one on relations with Latin America, and another one on the role of international human rights and foreign policy. So the responses to all those formal responses are due to be tabled. And there is a decision which will be announced by Chris Carter around the work to be done around the Mahatar Lagoon following last year's disastrous flood. So those are the formal decisions out of the Cabinet. Coming up this week, you will have seen that Clayton Cosgrove and the Department of Statistics were launching the 2006 census today. This week, Phil Goff is in London. He's attending the major conference on Afghanistan as Minister of Defence, going on to Brussels, where I understand he'll be seeing Peter Mandelson again, having had a meeting with him at Davos also in recent days, and also meetings at NATO. Tomorrow we're expecting Stats to issue the overseas merchandise trade stats. Midweek also, David Benson-Pope will be releasing the quarterly benefit figures. And there will be announcements from Steve Mahari in education, one around where discretionary grants are going in early childhood education, and another on teacher supply for this year, which I understand is looking quite promising. Coming up Thursday, there will be the Department of Labour's December job vacancy monitor, probably the highlight of the week, which is the Rugby Sevens parade starting from Parliament. The Stats external migration figures for December will be out on Friday, and Friday also understand Annette King will be turning the sod for the new County's Manukau police station, which is long awaited. And then come the weekend there will be the Waitangi Day events, the Governor-General's function on the Sunday evening at Waitangi. And then on Waitangi Day itself, I will host a breakfast for leaders from all communities who are there, go to the Family Day at Waitangi, and then head down to Auckland for the big celebration at Manukau City before going to the Governor-General's function in Auckland that evening. Next week, no Cabinet Monday because it's Waitangi Day. The Cabinet will meet on Tuesday morning, and then we will have the Labour Party caucus starting around about lunchtime. I will be leaving that afternoon to go across for the bilateral in Canberra with John Howard, the annual bilateral meeting. John Howard came to Auckland and Wellington last year. I'm heading through to Canberra this year, and obviously that's a meeting which gives us a chance to have a good chew over not only bilateral issues but issues around the region, including the broader region and the East Asia Summit and where it goes from here, joint involvement and interest around the Pacific. And then from Canberra I'm heading across to South Africa for about 2.5 days for the Progressive Governance Summit. And that will be bringing together leaders from Europe, Tony Blair will be there, Asia Pacific, Latin America and Africa. And there's a good program around growth and development policies, migration, social cohesion, energy security and environmental sustainability. And as well the opportunity to do bilateral calls in South Africa as well. Any questions? Well, I wouldn't normally comment on a speech which is under embargo. What I'd say is that my prediction all along has been it would be an essentially negative speech. I think it lacks credibility to now claim that the economy is the huge issue, when 5 months ago they weren't prepared to debate the economy in the course of the general election campaign. Nothing has changed about the forward projections for New Zealand's economy since September last year. So I think that we're probably likely to hear more of the same old rhetoric which lost them the election. I was rather struck by the comment he made to the Herald, printed on the front page today, talking about the importance of New Zealand's secular society. I thought that was a little rich from someone who was happy to take a great deal of money from a fundamentalist sect, which would very much like to see a different sort of society. Warren Tucker himself approached me last week with an article which he wanted to submit, and I agreed that he should submit it. It was his initiative. He took the initiative because, frankly, he is driven to despair by a lot of the allegations which are quite carelessly made about the GCSB. Warren Tucker, as the article makes clear, is a long-standing public servant. He is utterly loyal to New Zealand. His agency is loyal to New Zealand. It acts in New Zealand's interests, and he felt that he should put that on the record, given that there's been another round of publicity in the wake of the access to the Longi archive.
So the article suggests that David Bond was wrong when he says that he wasn't kept well informed about what
these newspapers are. I don't want to really get into the article, which stands for itself. But I know from my own experience of dealing with the GCSB, and that runs over not only 6 years as Prime Minister, but also over the period when I was Deputy Prime Minister in 89-90, there is nothing that the GCSB keeps from their Minister. I'd say that without equivocation. And if it was the case when I became Deputy Prime Minister, Deputy to Geoffrey Palmer in 89-90, I would say with certainty it was the case when David Longi, who immediately preceded Geoffrey, was Prime Minister.
Would you also say that the file that was released by mistake actually proved that David Longi was wrong when he says that it wasn't kept informed?
Well, clearly there was information in the file which gave quite a lot of information about the GCSB. And I don't want to comment on that either. I wouldn't normally comment on the content, but I think it shows that David Longi was kept informed. Tony Blair very much wants to come to New Zealand, and there are plans being made. There isn't a formal date to announce, but he would like to come around the time he plans to go to Australia for the Commonwealth Games. I raised it with him when he phoned me straight after the election and after the formation of the government, and from that time on plans began to form. But one must bear in mind that in his position there's a lot of things that can come out of left field and stop one making trips to faraway parts of the world. We'd welcome the visit. The only British Prime Minister, serving Prime Minister, to come to New Zealand from Britain was John Major, who came for the Commonwealth Summit in 1995, almost 11 years ago. So it would be an historic visit to have a dedicated visit.
Would it depend on him going to Games
first? I would think so, yeah.
So it's not certain that he's going to the Games?
Well, that is the plan, but as I say, in Tony Blair's life, with a big international profile and a lot of issues, one would want to see the visit formally locked down before announcing dates.
When do you see
confirmation? It wouldn't be their practice to give a great deal of formal notice for security reasons.
When did you last see it, and would you raise it again?
I spent an hour with Tony Blair on the second Tuesday of January when I was in Downing Street, and I will be seeing him again in Pretoria the weekend after this one. And I will be raising it, yes.
Are there any plans to review Museum of the Neighbours using the place of Palestinian territories in the wake of the Hamas invasion of Gaza?
Our aid that goes into the Palestinian territories goes through the international agencies and may go through NGOs as well, but primarily we've put funding in over many, many years across all governments to the UN Relief and Works Agency, which works with Palestinian refugees. We've supported UNICEF, we've supported the World Bank's Trust Fund, but we don't have a direct aid program with the Palestinian Authority.
So you come from the programs?
Absolutely. Well, our programs, as I say, have not been bilateral ones with the Palestinian Authority. Other countries have such programs, but we haven't. Our focus has been through the international humanitarian agencies, bearing in mind that in the Palestinian authorities there's a very high level of unemployment, a high level of poverty, and so we've tried to help through UN Relief and Works Agency and through UNICEF. Humanitarian aid usually gets through where even there is the worst government in the world. If you look at cases like North Korea, for example, there's still been aid through World Food Programme because the world doesn't stand by and see people starve. And I suspect the same is true of Zimbabwe. So people will want to have humanitarian relief. I think the big issue now is how Hamas develops as a movement that has entered the political process, succeeded in winning elections to a legislative assembly, and will now form a government in the Palestinian territories. We think, and I believe most of the rest of the world thinks, it's time for Hamas to move into the political process properly and deal with its neighbour and recognise its right to exist.
Can you give us a bit more of an idea about what you want to discuss from the Howard next week?
Well, with John Howard, as I say, we have a long list of issues around our own region. We have the involvement, continuing involvement in Solomon Islands, discuss events around the Pacific, such as what's been happening in Fiji recently. The Bougainville issues, always keep an eye on that. The Pacific Island Forum upcoming for this year. Then there's the East Asian issues, the ASEAN, New Zealand-Australia FTA negotiation. I guess we'll touch base on the FTAs. We're both negotiating with China and with Malaysia. And then there is in the Philippines in March a major interfaith dialogue, the second in a series, or what I hope will be a series. The first was sponsored by Australia and Indonesia in Yogyakarta. The second is co-sponsored by New Zealand and the Philippines. The government will be funding a multi-faith delegation from go from here. And we're looking at that kind of soft diplomacy, if you like, as a way of bringing people together across faiths to discuss some of the issues which have been so divisive between faith and different communities. So I think the opportunity of a meeting like this is to take quite a broad look at some of those regional and international issues. And of course, with respect to the bilateral relationship, we usually have a good exchange on the economies of the two countries, the way the single economic market is trending. We have the next round of the Australia-New Zealand Leadership Forum, from our side chaired by Kerry McDonald, and the chair, at least up until now on the Australian side, has been the chair of Qantas, Margaret Jackson. That's due to be held in Auckland at the beginning of May, and there's usually quite an interest taken in that by the two governments. Apples. Apples has been on the agenda for 6 years, and I'm sure a meeting couldn't go by without apples being mentioned, because Clearly the latest iteration on Apple's hasn't brought fast progress, and it really is an issue that needs to be progressed. No, I wasn't aware that that had come through today, so I don't think I'll comment at all. Look, I honestly haven't seen the report. I haven't even seen a news report of the report. I haven't heard a news report of the report, so I'd be boxing in the dark if I answered the question.
Prime Minister, have you firmly ruled out more troops for Afghanistan, or is this something that Phil Goff will be discussing with NATO in Brussels?
What we've said consistently is that we're not considering major extensions to the kind of commitments that we've had. And I can probably recite those commitments in my speech as you can. It's been the occasional deployment of the SAS, been up there three times already. The provincial reconstruction team, which we're due to make rollover decisions on shortly. The Afghan army training, the presence in the headquarters of both the International Security Assistance Force, which is now run by NATO, and the Operation Enduring Freedom American headquarters. One of the reasons I went to NATO in November and why Phil Goff is following through is that the provincial reconstruction team is likely to be moving under the International Security Assistance Force umbrella, that being operated by NATO. We will obviously be working closely with them, as we did in Bosnia 10, 11 years ago. And so we're looking at how we can streamline exchange of information and make sure it goes as smoothly as possible. Progressive Governance Summit. I'm waiting to get an absolutely confirmed list, but as I say, Tony Blair will be there, expecting the Swedish Prime Minister, who was here last year, to be there. The Spanish Prime Minister, I know, has been invited. Probably one of the Central European Prime Ministers, like the Hungarian Prime Minister, who hosted the last meeting of the Progressive Governance Summit. Obviously have President Mbeki. I believe the Korean Prime Minister's been invited again. It's hoped there'll be representation from India. And it's hoped to understand that the President of Brazil may be able to go. Now, Chile always attends these meetings, but it's in transition from one president to another at the moment, so that may not be possible. And there may be others.